as a young man on the farm, you learned the chores of the farm, and you probably had a garden.
Yes, had a garden, and we learned how to milk cows. We learned how to chop the weeds out of whatever crops we were raising. Corn and tobacco were the major crops that were raised in that community.
But I don't know how old it was. You knew nobody was going to keep you down on the farm.
Right. My one and only ambition growing up there in the rural community was that I would leave that farm. I would tell my father once in a while, when I get grown, I'm going to leave here and move to the city. My dad would say, boy, folk in the city are starving to death. And I told him, I'm going to be right there starving with them. That was my attitude about that. And of course, time fixed it that my father passed, my mother passed when I was only 10 years old, and when I was about 15 years old, my father passed. My younger sisters had already moved to stay with my grandmother. My oldest brother had gone into the army, and the other brother was working with my uncle in his sharecropping. So I was the one who was left there at home with my father. I was about 15 years old, and my ambition was to finish high school. To make a long story short, after my father died, my sister brought me out of the hills of Kentucky to the big city of Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was able to finish high school.
But didn't you have a calling on your life? Tell us about that at an early age.
At an early age, I guess before my mother passed, I used to talk a whole lot of religion with her, and she always claimed I was going to be her preacher, you know, the preacher of the family. Well, I didn't think too much of it then, but the year that I finished high school, I accepted calling into the ministry. But I had it in my mind that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Yes.
Early on?
Yeah, very early in my elementary school days, I felt the calling, but I had no role models. I had a rural school teacher when they would have career day, I guess what you might call it, they'd ask everybody to tell what they were going to be when they grew up. Well, I would quietly say, I'm going to be a preacher. And everybody would laugh. That made me feel badly because I had no role models in the community. But my teacher encouraged me. She said, if you feel like that's what the Lord wants to make of your life, don't be embarrassed about it. And then she went a second mile. She would come out in that rural community, and when some outstanding preacher was me preaching, she would take me to hear him. And then, of course, when I went to Cincinnati, Ohio, to live with my sister, the pastor there gave me an opportunity to preach my initial sermon.
We'll get to that. Why do you think the kids laughed at you when you said you wanted to be a preacher?
Preaching wasn't a very, I guess, noble, well, it wasn't called a profession at all. It was probably on the lowest rank as far as services. And even there in the rural community, ministers were unlettered. I don't say completely unlettered, but they had no great formal education. They learned how to read and write, and they learned how to preach and make a lot of noise in the pulpit. But as far as inspiring people and that sort of thing, they helped get folks saved, and they did what they were called to do or programmed to do. And in our community, of course, the churches only had worship service once a month. At the country church, we had Sunday school every Sunday, but the minister only came from the city out there once a month. I remember some of the early days of his ministry there with a lot of noise, you know. I mean, they could make a lot of noise in the pulpit, but as far as uplifting people and moving people forward spiritually, that wasn't necessarily what was going on out there.
Didn't you, at an early age, 9 or 10 years old, made a commitment to Jesus Christ and you were saved?
Yes.
For those who are listening and don't understand that, what does that mean?
Well, it means when you decided to follow Jesus, when you made the most important decision of your life, that of deciding and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
You were 10 years old when that happened.
10 years old.
Was that in a service, a minister that spoke?
Oddly enough, and this is going back a ways, but in that rural community church, they had what they called a mourner's bench. Those who were unsaved in the community, young boys and girls, and they had a revival once a year, and you could only get saved probably once a year at the revival. And during that time, the parents would have you to come out and get on the mourner's bench. You would stay there with your head down while the service was going on, and the folk praying for you and singing and praying and preacher preaching the sermon. I somehow felt there was something wrong with that. But the way I accepted Christ as my Savior, they took religion very seriously in the rural community. And during the revival time, which was once a year, at noon, the teacher would let those who were seeking salvation out to go to the church, which was nearby, at the noon hour, because they would have a noonday service also. And the way I accepted Christ and the way I got saved was the minister didn't have us to put our heads down on the mourner's bench. He asked several of us that went to the church that day to just raise our heads up and look at him, and he explained to us the simple plan of salvation. It was a matter of our deciding and accepting, which was illuminating for me, because somehow or another I felt to get saved I had to have some spectacular experience. I mean, I had to be like being stricken onto the master road or something like that. But it was just a matter of making a quiet choice that I'm going to follow Jesus. And I decided and accepted him as my personal Savior and been running with him ever since.